This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And I love this. It is Lucky Number Tuesday. And, of course, that means we've got the new Bi-Mart savings. And I got to say, listener Andrew just messaged me. It's Tuesday. That means I'm at Bi-Mart.
Smart shopper. How do you message with a whisper?
I think I just know that that's what he meant. Ammo.
So he obviously didn't capitalize it.
He did not. And I don't know, you could do like micro, like when you do, like when it does the TH after the second, mm-hmm. it kind of microed, but he didn't. I have a sense. So yes, it is Tuesday, Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart. It also is day three of the fourth annual KYKN Food and Clothing Drive, which we just heard Mr. Professional Voice tell us about before coming in. You can go to kykn.com and right there up on the top of our menu bar, you'll see Food and Clothing Drive. I believe it's like the first one. Click on that, baby. You'll see all of our sponsors. Go visit their websites. Go buy from our sponsors. They're amazing. Chira's is new this year. Go get some chow at Chira's. It's the best. Well,
and of course, drop off your food and clothing and
absolutely.
Wipes. Matt was on here yesterday talking about those things that are really important. Every year we always hear about socks being
yep,
a big
socks.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Socks. I have a whole bunch of Bob's butt wipes. That's literally a thing. That is a brand name.
Huh. I got to.
Because, you know, it's like if you're the tops and tails, you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, I think that is a great name for a wipe company.
Isn't it? Well, it's very descriptive. Oh, that's what I use them for. Okay. And then also you can click, if you kind of scroll down on that page, it'll say drop off sites. And again, all of our great sponsors. And I'm not going to list them because I don't want to forget. I know Advantage Heating okay. and GA at Home, Green Acres are the two.
The key sponsor. So it is the Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning, 1430 KYKN, February Food and Clothing Drive, presented by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home. Other participating sponsors, Elite Buyers Northwest, Chira's Restaurant Catering, and Highway Trailer Sales.
And, of course, we are partnering up with Bebold Street Ministries. We had Matt and Aiden on the show yesterday to tell you all about the amazing work that they're doing. And so it's for a great cause. Again, February, it's not really the cold, dark, dead of winter because it feels like spring, but okay.
It is. I've always said, you know, when you live in the Northwest, you understand bipolar weather.
Right?
Because it will... you know, chilly in the morning and dense fog, and then the sun comes out and it feels like a beautiful spring day. And then right before bedtime, the rains and the clouds come in and chill. Yeah.
Right. And then I think, you know, this highs in the like 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Hey, we can't complain. Yeah. We can't complain about that.
I can. I'm like in the mode of snuggling in my big comfy recliner crocheting. And when it's sunny and warm out, I feel like, maybe I should be weeding or something, but so you don't want anything. And I think I mentioned yesterday, the flipping stink bugs have been waking back up, which is kind of bad because you're seeing buds and things like that coming out. There will be another freeze because winter, it's not over.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be a weird summer. And of course, we're always concerned, Pacific Northwest, Inland Northwest, especially in the states that don't properly manage their forests. If we don't have the snowpack and the water, summer is going to be, so it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
No, we need that cold snap. We need a good snowstorm to come to our mountain ranges.
Uh-huh.
And I have a feeling it's going to probably come at some point. And knowing the way things work here, it may be like March. I mean, I remember like 15 years ago, well, however long it was, that I actually moved to Central Oregon for a period of time. And my first winter there, it snowed before Halloween. I went out, I bought studded tires for my car, ready, bracing myself for a really rough, snowy winter, and then not a flake of snow until April, once I legally had to have my studded tires off my car.
You know what? I got a sense that we're going to have a repeat of that. Mm-hmm. I really do. I really do.
It seems like it's coming.
It does. It does. It's crazy. All right. Well, today, this will make you feel better. It's National Golden Retriever Day. Now, again, I've come out and I know I get hate for this. I am not a dog person. I don't care for them. But if I was, I got to go with Golden Retrievers. They're the sweetest dogs with the cutest schmoopy faces.
Yes, that's my wife's favorite dog as well.
Yeah.
So I will make sure she is well aware that it's National Golden Retriever Day so she can celebrate.
So let her go out and get another one. What do you have, two dogs right now? You need a
third
dog.
One of them is a golden retriever.
You have so many kids, you need the same number of dogs.
Nope. No, I thought more kids, less dogs was my motto, but it's not working out for me.
Oh, it's also National Women Physician Day. My doc is a woman, and I love her. She's wonderful. And it's Carrot Cake Day. So there you go, your healthy, healthy cake.
Yeah, there you go. Enjoy, enjoy. What a day to celebrate. Give some carrot cake to your golden retriever.
Well, you may need to, you know, scarf down a little carrot cake because also this day in history in 1913. Thanks, Woodrow Wilson. I think anniversary of his death today. The 13th Amendment gave Congress the power to levy income taxes. So stuff your sorrow with a little carrot cake. And because wasn't that supposed to be? It's only going to be this teeny teen, like 1% or whatever. Uh-huh. That's it. That's all. That's all it'll ever be.
Yeah, we know how government works. And of course, directly affecting us, in 1927, President Coolidge signs a bill creating the Federal Radio Commission, which later on became the FCC.
Yeah, I do. You know, Calvin Coolidge is one of my favorite presidents.
Well, let's just say happy birthday, FCC, in case you're listening.
Yeah, right. We love you. Heart. We heart you. 1966, the U.S. launched its first weather satellite. Also, the USSR achieved a soft landing on the moon. It was unmanned, though. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Well, and of course, we can round it out in 1971 when OPEC decided to set oil prices without consulting the people buying their oil.
Now, I'm old enough to remember I was a little kid when all this, the gas lines and everything, where you had to, it was based on the number. In a lot of states, it was even odd on your license plate and, you know, constantly running out of gas. We had an old Datsun B210, the only new car we ever owned, piece of junk. And of course, in New England winters, all the salt, it rusted out. You were basically Fred Flintstoning down the road because you could see the pavement.
What? Come on. I had an 81 Datsun 210. That was my first car.
Uh-huh.
You know. The 210 hatchback, and that thing was a little tank.
Really?
I rolled it onto its roof one time.
Really?
Flipped it back over, replaced the window that broke myself, replaced the oil filter, everything else, and kept right on driving it. A full set of tires on that car cost me $110. If I could go back and have any car I once owned, that would be the one.
It would just be the Datsun.
Just because it just took a licking and kept right on ticking.
Well, there you go. That was right when the Japanese models came in, because before that, it was all the big muscle cars and everything. And of course, you know, in cruising, that's way before my time. I was a little kid, but my dad, we had a big old 68 Chevy Impala that literally was a land yacht. And I could barely drive. I learned to drive on that thing when I was 13. But those were big beasts. And then all these little, you know, foreign imports, the Japanese cars came in and they were dinky little things. Ours was not a tank.
So my brother had a Mercury for a period of time, one of those gigantic land yachts.
Yeah, yeah.
And he actually put it next to a Suburban, and it was longer than the Suburban.
That does not surprise me. Uh-huh. They were monster cars. They were, you felt very safe in them.
Yep.
I mean, you were really surrounded by a cage of metal. You weren't going to have to, you really didn't need airbags back in those days. You were surrounded by metal. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. I want to talk a little bit about the legislative session. You shared a story that's a Salem-centric story just before we went on air. So I want to talk a little bit about this because I'm seeing a bit of a trend and people aren't just buying this stuff. They're not just taking it outright at face value. So let's talk about that. So you are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and by Mart, where it's Lucky Number Tuesday.
Go out there and get yourself some ammo. Be like Andrew and get your ammo. All right.
Should we start that trend? Be like Andrew? Be like Andrew? There we go.
It's very cool.
That'll be our catchphrase of the day. Be like Andrew.
I like it. So you shared this, and for whatever reason, it did not pop up on my feed. Doing show prep. Headline, KATU News. Salem resident who has been in the U.S., who has been a U.S. citizen for 7 years, said she was stopped by masked federal agents in unmarked cars who shattered her window and injured her before they found her passport and drove off. Mm-hmm. I got issues with even just that headline.
Well, I just sit here and go with what's going on in the world today. I have a lot of questions, and reading through the story, I'm like, what is not included in this story? Because, you know, literally saying this is at 11 o'clock in the morning in Salem. So one, as we have seen, where are all the looky-loos with their cameras? So where's all the video of this incident?
There should be video from many angles.
Mm-hmm. Number two, the story is just driving down the road and a car behind her all of a sudden pulls her over. And she's not sure why. And then another car pulls up and they come up to her and they say, you know, show us your papers, and then smash her window, pull her out, and then search her car till they find it.
Right there. Show us your papers. How would she have heard that? And first of all, why don't you just roll your window down? Mm-hmm. Why did it have to be shattered?
And that's assuming, let's just go to assuming that every bit of this story is true with leaving out little instances. Yeah. So why is your window up to be shattered?
What do you do when you're pulled over? I pull over. I get my ID out.
I don't even get my
ID. I roll my window down.
Okay, so I recommend not even getting your ID out until they are at your window with it down. Because you don't want to see them, you reaching for things in
that's
the car.
That's true.
Especially
if you're a concealed carry, 10-2, hands on the steering wheel. Yep.
You wait
we
for them to
that.
Come to the window, and then in front of them, you can reach for your wallet, reach for your glove box, all those things.
Right.
Because that creates safety all the way around. I'm kind of going, you know, according to the story, very, you know, she was frazzled because they're yelling at her. They didn't even give her time to look for it. I'm kind of going, none of that sounds legit.
And do you carry your passport on you? I don't.
She in this story, she does claim that her daughter convinced her to start carrying her passport.
But she's legal, so why?
I don't know. I would assume the driver's license would do a very quality job of that, because they
Yeah, what was the event that was preceding this that made them pull her over? Again, this is what you're getting, because I think when it all shakes out, it's probably going to be a little different than that's being reported. Again, we don't know, but I'm looking at, again, just looking at the comments, people are not buying this anymore. They don't automatically buy your narrative.
Yep. And that's the thing right now is we are seeing this every which direction. I mean, let's go back to the shooting in Portland. And two gang members approached by, you know, border agents, not ICE, not DHS, border agents. They assault them with the car. The guys finally fire shots. They get hit. They drive a few miles down the road and then call police to say ICE shot us. And I'm kind of going, but you didn't know it was ICE. You didn't know who it was that shot you. You just knew it was some sort of federal agent. And I go, so we know that all occurred, but just the narrative set with ICE, because then what hit the headlines? ICE shoots people in Portland. And I'm kind of going, so there's a lot of narratives going around in the world of this occurred and it had to have been ICE or a federal agent or anything else.
Right. And so all we know is what KATU is reporting. So we don't know it. But you would not know that from the people commenting on the KATU story. Clearly, most people think if you comment on this and you're a white person, shut up. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing a lot of. And again, when you've got people like Jerry Nadler from New York, basically, and they're all instigating and inciting and getting people out there to do this. So they have stirred up so much suspicion and hatred and broiling this all over. So it's not surprising to see, because the one woman said, you know, if she'd complied, none of this would have happened, which is a simple statement that, 5 minutes ago would not have been considered outrageous. Now we get racist, white lady, blah, 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 says the white woman. Really? Well, I mean, God.
I just sit here and go, all these narratives and all of this, and, you know, seeing this morning a video from Nick Sorter out of Minneapolis where they are now setting up roadblocks, citizens setting up roadblocks to ID and harass other their neighbors and other people that are passing through their communities. It looks like a little bit of a Gestapo right there in Minneapolis, just people literally using whatever they can to stop random people on their road to make sure that they belong in their communities.
Right. And I got another text here from a friend and a listener. The passport nonsense is BS. Remember, we all have the clean stars on our driver's licenses now, the real ID.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that to fly on a plane. So if she had legitimate ID, Oregon-issued ID, there should not have been any problem. So there's something missing here.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know whether her story has any merit to it or not, or if somebody just broke the window and this is, you know, the story for it. I have no clue.
No.
But what I do know is that there are some very key points missing from the K2 article
right.
in this story.
And so is that, and I have to say, you know, my initial gut instinct is they're leaving it out on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that, but that's my gut.
Well, somebody.
Because it feeds the narrative that they want to feed.
Yeah, somebody in the chain of this story is leaving some major things out on purpose, whether it is the person in the car or whether it is the news station or, you know, did she contact the police afterwards and file a police report? What is missing out of this story? And who left it out? Because there's definitely a narrative being presented by the lack of information.
Exactly. And that, you know, the lies of omission, and they do that all the time. But it is, again, sort of the trend. And again, social media isn't real life, but a lot of people, you got the ones, this could happen to any one of us. No, no, sorry. No. So, and again, I know they're trying to push a racial angle on this, and I'm actually seeing some people commenting on here that I'm slightly disappointed that are kind of buying into the narrative that's being force fed them. So that's a little disappointing. So anyway, we'll see what happens when that shakes out. I want to see, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, because it feels like there's a lot of stuff, maybe some crucial points that are missing. All right. So, the short legislative session started yesterday. Where's our scare music? Do we have a button for that?
We should. Doom.
Oh, and I've got a post here somewhere. Oh, with everything that's coming down. There it is. Threats to prosperity. What are we looking at? We got a couple minutes here to go into it. There's so much stuff. Let's see. New or increased taxes. Just that alone is... HB 4015, disconnection from the federal tax code, it would increase the tax burden for individuals and businesses. So while red states and other people around the country are looking at, you know, relief from all of this, sorry, Oregon and Washington and California, not for you guys.
Well, they need to punish us for, you know, because Trump is president, we as the citizens of Oregon need to feel the ramifications of that and how bad everything is, because gosh darn it, if people aren't feeling like, you know, conservatives are hurting us, well, gosh darn it, the Democrats just can't win again.
Right, right. And of course, they're going after the kicker, HB 4125, Senate Joint Resolution 201, modifications to the kicker that would limit taxpayer refunds. The kicker is like the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with the kicker.
It's the one bright spot in being an Oregonian.
It is. Well, and it's sad because it's so dark otherwise. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a legislation in the House to increase the state transient lodging tax to fund unrelated programs. Redirection of transit lodging tax revenues away from tourism, imposition of an ill-defined retail sales. Oregonians, Oregon, no sales tax. It has been a death by a thousand cuts for that. Mm-hmm. Sure, you don't have a sales tax.
Yeah. Well, they call it an ill-defined retail sales tax. So it's just a fee. It's not really a tax. Come on. And then, of course, finally, there's an increase to a state tax rate, which would... more than negate benefits from increasing the threshold. So.
Right, because that whole thing, when it went through, it's like, yeah, we're going to tax it when you earn it. We're going to tax it when you spend it. We're going to tax it when you die, so that your kids, if you try to give them your farm or your mansion or whatever, are going to have to sell it because they can't afford the taxes. Yeah. Such BS.
Well, don't worry. There is a few other things here, and they're sweeping liability expansions like criminal penalties for wage claims, regulate insurance under Unlawful Trade Practices Act, and of course, climate change cost recovery.
Oh, because climate change is so serious.
I thought
Oregon... Were we supposed to be underwater by now? We were going to be underwater by
yes,
now, right?
But I also understood that Oregon was one of the worldwide leaders in you know, negating climate change, but yet we still need to do more.
I guess. I don't know. You know, those silly Idahoans, you know, you look at gas at like 218 over there, and then I saw a video. You go over to Washington State or Oregon, and it's like 389. But it's so much better in Oregon because you pay so much more in Oregon than you do in Idaho.
Well, I would assume that those crazy people with low gas prices in Idaho are driving their land yachts around, really just burning up the environment. And that's why, global warming is so big.
SUVs. It's interesting to look at the gas stations that are along the border of Washington and Idaho. Nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just pop over the border?
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes so much more sense. If you're in Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, and you can afford to do it, just jump across the border and pay a whole lot. You don't pay less. You just get less gas, right?
Well, remember the lady? Because she used to be able to fit $97 in her tank, and dag nabbit, now it's only $54.
That's what happens when you cross from Washington to Oregon. Your gas tank gets smaller.
You get cheated out of it all.
It has nothing about the gas prices. Come on. Your gas tank shrinks when you hit freedom land. Come on.
I don't know. What are we? We're right at the bottom.
We kid, but are we really kidding?
I know. Sometimes you just have to. It's that absurd. It's that absurd. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the air news. Speaking of absurd, come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, one of our great sponsors of our fourth annual KYKN Food and Clothing Drive right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's kudos. Got to give some kudos out. SalemBusinessJournal.org is reporting this story. City of Salem temporary halt sign code enforcement while reviewing policy. This has been a bit of a kerfuffle, or as Candace Owen says, a kerfluffle, which is wrong. The city of Salem has had a lot of issues, a lot of businesses. There have been some forums where people are just frustrated. It's like, what are the rules? What are the fines? We talked about the Battle Creek sign. Was it Battle Creek? The Battle Creek neighborhood sign, a small change and a big price tag. This is a pretty comprehensive article. We're not going to dig too much into it other than to say this is a good thing. City Manager Krishna Namburi has said it's meant to give businesses breathing room while they kind of figure things out. They're going to work with the community on a clearer, more workable approach. And so I got to say kudos for that. You know, being responsive, listening to the community, hearing what they want, hearing what the issues are, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is definitely a good thing. I just hope that you don't get a few big signs that go up that all of a sudden they come back later and say, now you need to pay us or remove it.
Well, remember the one downtown, and this was before all the work happened at Salem Center, the big Ross Dress for Less sign that was like monstrous, and a lot of people had an issue with that. It was like, okay, that's really big. That's a really, really big sign.
You want everyone to know where you are, huh?
Ross Dress for Less. Okay, now, of course, it's moot. I think, I don't know, there's condos. I mean, Nordstrom is gone. Anyway, so Namburi said sign code frustrations have been one of the most consistent themes she has heard during the past year. At the forum, she described the city's intent to use the enforcement pause to slow down, listen, and design a path forward with the people most affected, especially small businesses and tenants who may not control the property but still need signage to operate. The article goes into a couple of examples, Torque Automotive, Storage for Less, and then, of course, the Battle Creek neighborhood sign. So this is good. I think this is a good responsiveness. So good job.
Yeah. No, I will applaud the city of Salem for doing this because, I'm just sitting there going, those one-size-fits-all mentalities. And when you're talking versus, like I said, you know, when you're going down a main thoroughfare with a lot of businesses, that's one thing to have an overbearing sign. But when you get into a community, a neighborhood, I think they should be allowed to do kind of whatever they want to represent their community.
Yeah, especially since they're paying for it and they did all the work on it and everything, too. So that's a good thing. I sent you this morning, moving a little up north, going up north. I know I had seen there was an Auburn mom in a middle school who just basically walked right in. I'm dicking my daughter. This is a dad, American Papa Bear on X. This is crazy. This father heard that his middle school age son was forced to go to a walkout protest that was facilitated by the school. Middle school. His reaction is absolutely on point, and we need more parents like him across the country. There's some F-bombs. We're not playing it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this dad just decided, yeah, enough. A middle school kid. What's that? Yeah. 13, 14 years old?
12, 13, 14. So yeah. Virtually his child called him and said, yeah, we're leaving school to join this protest. And I'm just sitting here going, wait a second. Let's pump the brakes a little bit, because if my child, even at the high school level, is going on a field trip, they have to have my signed permission to do such a thing.
Yeah.
But yet these schools, virtually the teachers decided they want to join the protest, so they're going to take their classes with them. I'm going, that is a major liability issue. And if I'm this father, I might be looking at a lawsuit to sit here and say, you remove my student from school grounds without my permission. Let's sue you.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, the complaint that most sane parents have, that these are just indoctrination factories where these kids are going in and having their brains just washed clean. And then they come out. And so, number one, we've seen the videos of them acting like 12-year-olds, which is what mm-hmm. they are, 13-year-olds, running into the street, being in danger, flipping everybody off, being jerks, because that's what middle school kids are. That's your time to be a jerk.
Well,
and they are, and it's dangerous.
And it's happening, you know, Seattle is kind of the epicenter of these school walkouts. I know when they had their day of protest on Friday, there was a Washington State school that just closed for the day because the teachers wanted to attend instead of being at school. There was another one, I'm trying to think, there was actually a video, it looked like a high school protest, and a young guy driving away with a Trump flag on the back of his car. Mm-hmm. The car is being surrounded, this and that. Yeah. Well, a young lady ran out in front of his car as he's starting to drive away, and of course, then he had to take off because now the mob is right there, and I'm just going... And then, of course, the other one, kind of the big one, which you has been brushed under the rug real, real fast. This happened about 5 days ago. Salem Public Schools, Rainier Beach High School, sent their kids out to protest. And two high schoolers ended up shot.
Salem Kaiser?
No, Rainier. Rainier Beach High School up in Seattle area. It's in Seattle.
I've not heard anything about that.
Yeah, I told you it's went under the rug real fast. They have confirmed that there were two people shot in the head. Sounds like a gang related shooting outside of this school.
Oh,
while the kids were out protesting ICE. And then from my understanding is they were kind of there for quite a while with a whole bunch of other students around as, you know, police came and showed up.
So what the hell is the deal with teachers and nurses? Because that's what you're seeing, the awfuls mm-hmm. that are in teaching professions, that are stewarded, that are tasked with taking care of your children. I did see another video of this idiot teacher going off on a white boy, calling him all kinds of names, and he recorded it. This is disgusting, and this is all being fomented. And again, whatever you're talking about, I've not seen that, so I don't know. But it's not a glitch. Mm-hmm.
No, it's an.
This is what you talk about with the happening with the two people in Minnesota. That is not a glitch.
Yeah. No,
because these are not organic. This is all being driven. It is all being funded. It is all very well coordinated. You look at the tactics. These are tactics that we've had many military people say we've seen the insurgency tactics in Mogadishu mm-hmm. or, you know, Beirut or whatever. These are well-known tactics, the whistles, the whole thing, the psychological warfare that is being played, the auditory, the sensory warfare that is going on. Now you start bringing in middle school kids, again, an age demographic that are dumb because mm-hmm. their brains aren't fully formed. They're middle school. We all remember what we were like at 12, 13,
well,
and 14.
And
we were dumb.
Yeah. And they're happy to join whatever you're saying they
Absolutely.
Need to join because it's a better alternative than sitting in a classroom.
Yep. This is reprehensible on so many levels. And then, of course, I'm seeing, and I don't know, this is the mom up in Auburn who walked in. She was harassed just walking in to get her daughter. Mm-hmm. And then my understanding is that the principal was behind this, allegedly, and I'm seeing some things that I don't know, that they've been fired. This stuff comes at you fast and furious, but we're starting to see more and more of this. And again, you're going to see more and more of this as the weather gets warmer. And of course, we've got this weird faux spring going on here. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not seeing anything about this happening in Salem schools.
No.
Doesn't mean it won't, but I have not seen anything yet.
Well, and that's the thing is they did have that national day of walkout, and I know there were businesses that participated in that, being closed on Friday, and of course there were protests downtown and everything else. I didn't hear anything about schools or how they handled that scenario. They weren't even in school. They had an in-service day, so it made it very convenient. So, yeah, I'm just going, what you're seeing in Seattle, what you're seeing in Minneapolis, it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And
Salem Kaiser has seen it in the past on other issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is going to happen, and it's going to spread, and it's on the powers that be to shut it down. And unfortunately, when you're talking about blue state governors, blue state mayors, they do not want it to end because, gosh darn it, it gets them that attention. And having foot soldiers out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, talk about the Grammys. That whole thing was set up to convince their followers and the people that idolize these celebrities to go out and virtually put their life on the line because these celebrities won't.
Yeah. And they don't care about you. You're just cannon fodder. I do like that this dad in the video, he's going to go to the school board meetings. That is a way to get motivated, because I'm frankly tired of parents saying, I'm busy. Really? Mm-hmm. First of all, who are your kids? And it's the same thing. It's like, well, we're going to stand up and fight. Well, don't use your kids as your ammunition. Pull them out.
Yeah.
You go out and fight. You run for school board. You go to the meetings. But you get your kids out of there. Don't put your kids on the front line of this crap.
Yeah, I am. If I was to find out that any of my kids got pulled out of school to join a protest, even if the teacher said, do you want to go do this? And they said yes, I'm going after the school financially, because guess what? That's actually going to hurt them, because that is unacceptable to take kids and put them in a position like that. I mean, we've seen it, people getting hit by cars being out playing around on the side of the street. Of course, you can go to Seattle and, Rainier Beach High School, people got shot. And of course, what are we hearing on the news constantly is around the ICE facility in Portland, that they're just tear gassing women and children and babies even. It's I'm going, so virtually you're intentionally taking my student and putting him in a line of danger, according to the narrative you have set.
Exactly, because it reinforces their narrative. That's how ghoulish these people are. And the useful dummies and the useful idiots that are out there putting themselves on the line, sacrificing everything for people that couldn't give two craps about them. It's unbelievable. And then they're going to start dragging in 12 and 13-year-olds? Hell no.
Well, they all believe that when their time comes, they will probably get a Netflix special made about how amazing and heroic they were in the face of the tyrannical government.
And see, that's the thing. And the poll numbers and the normal people, Norm and Norma out there, are not buying it. And that's why you saw the reactions on the K2 story. Nah, that kind of stinks. We've seen this way too many times. Again, caveat on that, all the details aren't out. Hence the point, all the details aren't out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and besides, Netflix doesn't have the kind of money to make an individual movie for each one of these protesters. Oh, come on.
It'll be an 8-part series. And they'll stunt cast it all, of course, so gross. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, everybody. So before you come at us, there's some poll numbers you need to see, because we are not alone in our frustration and disgust with all of this. And I want to do a hat tip to my buddy John Kuzminich, who is happily living in Florida now.
Lucky.
said the leftist Dems and their media aren't going to like this one bit, but a new national poll out today says the vast majority of Americans are all for mass deportations of illegals and stand with and overwhelmingly support ICE, which completely flies in the face of the false narrative that says otherwise. The Dems, media, Hollywood entertainment industry has been trying to sell you this for forever. There's a new Signal poll out. Just going to break it down real quick. 73% say coming here illegally is breaking the law, contrary to what Don Lemon has been trying to say out there. Well, it's just a misdemeanor. Yeah, that's still the law, dude. Yeah. Anyway, he's another story. 61% support deporting illegals. Mm-hmm. 58% oppose defunding ICE. And 54% support ICE enforcing our immigration laws. So there you go. Norm and Norma are behind this.
Well, and that's these polls that are happening, and a lot of these, you know, news stations are putting them out expecting things are going to go their direction. And when the numbers actually come out, they have to kind of admit that they're the minority in the way they're presenting everything. Because I saw another poll talking about voter ID.
Yeah.
And it was
on
like
CNN.
Yeah, it was like 86%.
Harry Enten, who was getting all excited about it.
Yeah, it was 86% of white people want it. 82 or 83% of Hispanics want it, and even 76% of blacks, which if you remember their marketing, the black community would suffer if we use ID because they can't get it. They just don't know how. They don't know how to use the internet. They don't have DMVs nearby.
Which is so offensive and so racist for, you know, the white saviors, the awfuls that they need to come in, and it's like,
And tell the black community that you're just not good enough to get your own ID.
You can't figure out. And I love the videos where they'll interview the awfuls and then they'll interview, you know, just normal black people going about their business. Do you know where to get an ID? Yeah.
It's around the corner.
Never had a problem with it. We're good.
Do you even have an ID? Do you know what the internet is?
I know. It's so racist. It's so gross. And they don't even see. I actually was at a lunch meeting with somebody a few years ago, self-described progressive, who flat out said to me, oh, I know I'm a racist. Like, oh, okay.
Well,
good for you. At least you can admit it.
And just circle back around to the Grammys one more time, talking about people that have no clue what's really going on.
Oh, this is so delicious. So we did see that there's a GoFundMe. Well, no, it's he had to move it because GoFundMe wouldn't do it. A Gibson Go. This guy from, is he a New Zealand?
Something like that. Yeah.
He's an Aussie or he's an NZ. Putting up a thing because he's like, well, I'm going to move in with her because, of course, we're talking about Billie Eilish, who so famously and so brilliant was so stunning.
So brave.
So brave.
So brave.
Stunning and brave. There's no one's illegal on stolen land, which just the statement itself makes zero sense, but okay.
Yeah, and we talked about that because that is actually technically land that was purchased from by the U.S. from Mexico, but we'll get back to that later. Yeah, this guy literally set up a GoFundMe to get to pay for a ticket so he can fly over here and camp out in her lawn and see how long it takes for him to be told to leave.
Yeah, because can I come in? Please, Billy, may I come in and have some food? So this next one, because it turns out that her $14 million mansion is on the Tongva land. So here it is. The Tongva tribe has confirmed that Billie Eilish's home is situated on its, quote, ancestral land, unquote. Says she's not yet reached out to them regarding her home. Quote, we appreciate the opportunity to provide clarity regarding the recent comments made by Billie Eilish, the tribe said. As the first people of the greater Los Angeles basin, we do understand that her home is situated on our ancestral land. This is what they told the Daily Mail. Eilish has not contacted the tribe directly about her property. So we're waiting because honestly, if Billie Eilish is 100, she believes that she lives this, she feels that to the core of her being, she will be donating her $14 million mansion to the tribe.
I would think for literally, I would suspect, and I think it would be absolutely hysterical to see a large number of people show up at her gate because believe me, there's walls and gates to get into her property. To say, hey, we would like to come and enjoy this land because it's ancestral tribe land. It is, you know, you can't have land on stolen property, you know, whatever story they want to use. But let's throw the words back at her because the ego that she presents to even say this publicly, I'm just going, yeah, let's make her eat her words.
And all the trained SEALs with their makeup and lip gloss clapping furiously at her on that, too. It's like, this is literally a cosmic bluff calling. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that the tribe has said, hey, that's our ancestral land. We're waiting for you to come and tell us what how you plan on reverting it back to us. That would, yes, please.
But she was so proud of herself. Come on. She was so proud of herself. All right. Okay, then what are we? We're good. I'm just as far as absurd, because that one was so funny. So we always talk about, the leftist babies. Remember, you heard about babies, right? We heard about babies.
I've heard about them. I will not address them that way.
No, I won't either, because of, it's a gender construct.
Mm-hmm.
And the babies have to identify themselves. It's all on them. Now I'm trying to find this story because it's hilarious. It's a gender reveal that was done with a helicopter. First of all, gender reveals, okay, I get it's cute, it's sweet. Do it with a cupcake. Do it for your family. Does it have to be all over the internet? I mean, it's something. It's cute. You keep it a secret, and you want to tell the grandparents, maybe.
Does the world need to know? Is it something you have to do out of a helicopter during a snowstorm? Let's put it that way.
Correct. Correct. And it was this, and I've seen it, and I can't find it now. Gosh darn it. Anyway, it was funny. And then, the thing is, we're told that it's a gender construct. It's basically the doctor, your OBGYN, you're looking at the baby and deciding, well, this is a boy or this is a girl, not based on the immutable characteristics that we all learned in kindergarten cop. Mm-hmm. Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina. It's not based on any of that.
Yeah, it's not something they might see in an ultrasound
or taken out of a blood test to determine whether
it's a male or female. So I found it. It's a Breaking 911 X post, and it's a helicopter flying, and it's over looks like a hotel area, and they're dropping blue
smoke paint,
smoke bombs, whatever you want to call them, to determine that the lucky recipient is having a boy. But I'm kind of going, wait, has the child decided that already?
Child hasn't decided. Child's not even born yet. It's still just a clump of cells.
Oh, yeah. Come on. They need, you have to give it time for it to determine whether it wants to be human or canine or feline.
Elephant.
And then male or female, right, or both.
And that
or none.
That doesn't happen until the second it comes out of the birth canal, because that birth canal is totally magic.
Uh-huh.
It's a clump of cells for 9 months.
Yes.
And then it's magic, and then it comes out, and then you decide if it's a boy
or a girl.
But
wait, no, you don't get to decide.
Oh, right.
You just stepped on in it really big, because you do not get to decide. You need to wait at least, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Maybe when they hit middle school, they will decide what they are.
And why are there only two colors? Why is it only blue and green? Mm. Or blue and green.
Blue and pink.
Blue and pink.
Well, because the patriarchy, obviously. I mean, because
shouldn't it be like that rainbow flag that they keep adding colors and things to?
Wouldn't that be hysterical in a gender reveal? Just a big old rainbow flag coming out.
Well, what's all colors? I think, what is it? The absence of all colors is white and all colors is black. So just black. Well, then you're looking at a pope. Then we're having a pope. Are we having a pope? Have we decided if it's a pope yet? That's how stupid this is. I love this. Somebody on the thread: gender reveal from a helicopter in a snowstorm is peak main character energy.
Yeah.
Cute idea. Terrible risk math. If you need aviation to announce it, at least pick a clear day. The whole thing is just stupid.
We are seeing so much main character energy right now in this society.
I know.
And you see it in the videos from Snow Ravage New York or Minneapolis or anything else of people literally burying their neighbor's car, or and I'm just going, maybe it's time to get back to God loving your neighbor kind of mentality.
Wouldn't it? I know. Poor Zoran. Nobody loves him in New York. All right, everybody, that is it for us today. We will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.